Welcome to Ink Drinkers,
a literary tea party podcast
where we discuss books
and drink tea.
Hi.
Hi.
You sound like you're getting sick.
I'm still getting over being sick. So I'm at the end of it, but I'm just a little stuffed up.
Yeah. So
sorry if I sound nasally. It's been a long week. I had my 35-week appointment this Monday. Sorry, I cannot breathe. Ignore me. Or don't. Just, you have to listen to this voice. So we are in having the baby, or we're going to go into the hospital to start the process on February 26th.
Yay. That's so, like, almost here.
If he doesn't come before, he'll either be here the 26th or the 27th.
Wow.
Yeah.
And have we settled on a name yet?
No.
Oh my God.
Okay. Nope.
Okay. All right. It's fine. I'm not panicking or anything. It's not my baby.
Right.
I'm not panicking.
I mean, I'm not panicking. I would like to agree, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So he may just have to be born, and then I'll have more leverage, obviously, because of what I endured. And then, yeah.
Oh, you want this other name? Well, I just pushed a child out of my body, so I'm thinking we go with what I want.
Right. And then the lady's going to come in, and I'm just going to look at him and be like, okay, I'll take the paperwork, and I'll fill out his birth certificate. No. But anyways, obviously, he has to have a name, so.
He does.
One way or another.
He does.
Before the end of February, he'll have a name.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to have a name.
So.
Okay. Have you, I'm, like, wondering how you're getting any reading in at this point.
I'm not getting a ton.
Okay.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And I just haven't found, I've also just been in a rut.
Yeah.
Like, I started a few things, and I was like, I'm not reading this. Also downloaded this book because I had a credit on Audible, and all the reviews were fantastic. And it's not something that I would normally want to read. And, I mean, I've only gotten into, like, 5 minutes of it, and I was like, I don't know.
Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah. Butcher and Blackbird, and it's apparently about, like, two serial killers, but they kill, like, bad guys.
So, like,
but I think
Dexter
that they
situation.
Are also crazy. And they fall in love. It's like a dark romantic comedy.
Interesting.
And the reviews are like, the multiple people on Goodreads said that the narrators are the best narrators they've ever heard, that it's the best narration of an audiobook they've ever heard, that it was really a really cool concept. So I feel like I have to give it a shot. I'm just it's just outside of what I'm interested in right now. Like, I don't know if I'm up for reading about two serial killers killing people.
I can see that. I can see that.
So anyways, I'm hoping that I will get in the mood and want to read it, but I already have it downloaded with a credit, so I'm not too worried about it. I started something else that came up on my Libby Holds, and I just started that yesterday, but I think I'm going to like it, so I can tell you what that one is, too.
Yeah. I had, like, a streak of really great books, and then I got to a point where now I'm, like, in the middle of four because I don't want to go back to any of them.
Yeah. But this one is My Roommate is a Vampire by Jenna Levine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like she's can't afford her rent currently at her – and she's about to get evicted. I think they're in New York maybe, or Chicago or something. And she sees a Craigslist ad for a room in, like, it's in Lincoln Park, so it's Chicago, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah?
I think so. And the guy, basically, the rent is only $200 a month to live in this, like, fancy apartment building and, like, a room in this apartment. And, like, the only thing he says is that he's not there during the day. So he's, like, he's not there at night. And so he's like, so during the day, You know, I'll be there, but I'm not like that around, like if you're at work or whatever. And if, and at night, like you'll have the whole apartment to yourself kind of stuff. Or it was either the opposite or whatever right. It was.
Well, vampires
at night
sleep during the day and come out at night, maybe?
I don't know. So I really haven't gotten, she hasn't answered the ad yet. She's just talking about it with her best friend. And her best friend is like, you should check it out. And she was like, this guy's going to murder me. Like, who puts $200? Like, it would be absurd to get $1,000 for a room in Lincoln Park. And the guy's like, you really have to do this, though, because, you know, you're about to get – your landlord's about to take you to court. And
oh, my God.
So anyway, so she's now considering this, and she's about to reach out to him. So it's like the very, very beginning.
That sounds entertaining,
though. And apparently he's – gonna be hot, so
well, yes, of course. Aren't all vampires?
I think so, right? Isn't that like part of the,
like their skin sparkles and stuff, so that they I look mean, I think really? That
that's a specific type of.
That's only Twilight.
Yeah,
I've never read Twilight or seen the movies.
No other vampires that I've ever.
No, in A Discovery of Witches, doesn't his skin? Nope. Okay, all right. Well,
no, and he doesn't have like the He can go out in the daylight without some type of whatever.
Yeah.
He's just pale. I don't think that he sparkles. I mean, he's attractive. But I mean, it's Matthew Good. Matthew Good's attractive.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, anyways. That was a lot about vampires.
Yeah. So, that might be my next review.
Okay. I can't wait. Do you want to go first?
Well, I might as well.
Yeah. Just lead me into it, into your current.
So I finished Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett.
Never heard of it. I don't know where you find these things.
I don't either. I was just looking for something. I was trying to look fantasy because at the time I just felt like I needed something a little otherworldly. And I wasn't finding anything that I wanted to read, rom-com or drama. I won't say this is like a 5-star for me, probably about a 4.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was a little slow. This is the first book in a series, and the second book just came out, like, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's always nice.
Yeah. So, I don't have the girl's name. Yeah. Emily Wilde. Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies.
Wait, so your character name is in the title of your book. Mm-hmm. Mine is due this week. Oh,
there we go.
I was thinking,
connection.
As I was preparing for this episode, I was thinking, well, I won't forget the character's name because it's in the title of the book.
I was like, I didn't write it down. That's so unlike me because it's in the title. So Emily is a Cambridge professor. She's 25. She's the youngest professor there. I don't know what the time period is, but it's not current. So they're not like in 2023. It's, I don't know.
Some time that does not exist.
So she is very, very focused on her academic career. She is not very good with people. She's very socially awkward. She has no real friends. She's had one partner, like she dated one guy for a little bit a year or two ago. She's just not close with people.
Mm-hmm. So far, I think we may have read the same book.
Her family is like, she says, there's nothing wrong with my family. They just were kind of absent and we couldn't relate to each other. She was super intelligent as a little kid and like read all the books in the family's library that her grandfather gave to, like, when he passed away, all of his books. And the parent, she'd go and try to talk to her parents about it, and she's like, I would be like the 6-year-old trying to understand like this intense book and ask them questions about it, and they just looked at me like I was a freak, you know, like they couldn't relate to me.
Right.
So she's always felt very alone, but I don't know if lonely is the right word for her. I'm sure at times she's felt lonely, but she also is just really focused on her academics and her career and her field of interest, which is fairies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So she has been compiling a literal encyclopedia of fairies. In this book, fairies are real. I don't know that the general public acknowledges that they're real, but she has been in contact with fairies in remote places. Like, she travels with her grants and all of her funding.
Are we talking fairies like Tinkerbell, or are we just like
So they're more like woodland creatures.
Okay, like sprites.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes. And there's different types. So she talks about different types. She talks about sprites a little bit. They have different types of names. But her real passion or what she wants to learn more about is a specific fairy called the Hidden Ones. And they're like elusive fairies that not many people have interacted with. They look like regular humans. Like they're
hidden in plain sight.
Yeah. And they, it's very similar to like what you would think a fairy is of if you've ever read anything about folklore, anything like that, where they're very spiteful and, you know, they try the tricksters and just like little things like that. So she has learned over time how to speak to them so that she doesn't get caught up in like a web of like an issue kind of thing. So her most current situation is that she has left Cambridge, taken this like ferry boat for a day to this remote island somewhere. I don't know where exactly they are. But it's like this very, very cold mountain town where there's not a lot of, it's just like a very small community of people. But they have been, there's been word that things are happening in this little town. And so she's going to investigate. So she rents this rundown little shack, and the people there are a little wary of her, you know, and her intentions. And so at first they're not super friendly towards her. She offends one of them because she doesn't know how to talk to people, and she's just really socially awkward. And from then on, like, the other townspeople are kind of like not super nice to her because like she offended so and so, and you know, whatever. She has an academic rival at Cambridge. His name is Wendell Bumblebee. And Wendell is very attractive. He's a professor. He's really the only person that she's like, if I have to say I have a friend, I guess Bumblebee is a friend. But like, I don't really consider him that because he just irritates me. Like, he comes to irritate me on purpose.
Right.
And he'll be like, oh, Emily, and he's from Ireland, and he talks about like his, you know, and he kind of goes with the flow with life, and she thinks that he's not professional, and he fibs on some of his research, and he likes to take credit for other people's work. And so she has this kind of feel about him that he's not a professional academic, but at the same time, he's very charming and people really like him, and he's really attractive. And
is he also a fairy?
I don't know. So anyway, so he shows up out of the blue with like two fellows, like academic fellows, and that are basically his slaves. Like, he pretty much just has these, you know, says that he'll mentor these kids, and then he's like, my laundry needs to be done. You know, like, they're just kind of doing his work for him, pretty much. He moves into the little shack with her because it's like two bedrooms, and the two fellows are like sleeping on the ground or something, and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I just thought maybe you could use a little help. And, you know, so it's really them trying to do this research together. There's things happening in this village where children are going missing.
Oh.
And it's been that way for the last few years. So they don't quite go in, or she doesn't go in with like, I'm going to help them because out of the goodness of my heart, because these things are happening. It's all research.
Right.
And he doesn't really care about anyone but himself. I mean, he does, but he's very into himself, right, and his own personal interests. And he's like, I guess we can help them. What do we have to do? I guess if that'll help them, then that's a good thing. You know, like, but that's not his goal.
Right.
And her goal is to further her research and to be able to finish her Encyclopedia Fairies to deliver at some conference that they're going to have in a few months. I don't know. Anyways, it's very fantastical, and there's very whimsical. They're in the middle of nowhere. It's winter time, so you feel this feeling of bitter cold while she's going out. You hear all these stories. She does like this shift where she'll talk about different fairy tales and folklore, and trying to apply it to the situations that she finds herself in. The fairies are real. So like, she's talking to fairies of different types, like, in this book. it was just interesting. It was a different kind of take. There is some type of love connection, but that's not what the focus of the book is. Right.
It sounds fun.
It was fun.
It's just like,
yeah,
light and easy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to read the next one because I want to, because it ends on a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Kind of.
I always like it whenever I start something new and I don't realize necessarily at first that there's more to the series.
Right.
And then discover it. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's a story that, it, although slow in the beginning, once you get to the end of the book, you're like, well, I need to know what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
I need more.
Yeah. So it was good that I found it when I did because the second book is out.
Yay.
So,
yeah. Otherwise, you would have had to wait. Ugh.
I know. And it's kind of one of those books that if you don't continue right away, I could see where it could get lost.
Yeah.
But it would be cool to know what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm excited that you get to find out what happens. Yeah. Okay, my book was similar in a lot of ways, actually, surprisingly or not surprisingly, I don't know, but it's called The Happy Life of Isadora Bentley. Once again, I can't forget her character name because it's in the title of the book, Isadora. So we meet Isadora on her 30th birthday. Up till now, she's had kind of a crappy life. Like her parents kind of sucked. Her mom was like really narcissistic. She never really had friends. Like in school, the other kids would pick on her. So at this point in her life, she just is kind of like, I'm better off on my own. I don't need other people. She also had a pretty terrible relationship like a year or two ago. So she works at, a university. Mm-hmm. She's a researcher, though, not mm-hmm. a professor. And so she gets paired up sometimes with different professors to help them research their books and things like that. But for the most part, she just wants to, like, do her own research. She doesn't want to interact with other people. And her boss is always like, well, there's other people in this office and you should probably be helping them and teaching them. And she's just like, I'd really rather not. So while she is in line at the grocery store buying junk food for her own little birthday party, this is what she does every year, she sees a magazine as she's checking out, and it's featuring an article about like the 62 ways to, there are the 62 steps to a happier life or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And Isadora's like, okay, like, no, this is not, you can't do that with happiness. Like, it doesn't work that way. So she buys the magazine, and then she's determined to prove it wrong. She's like, I'm going to do these 62 steps, and I'm going to prove that I'm still miserable at the end of it.
Okay. So, great. It sounds like a great attitude.
Yes.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, I think the next day at work, maybe, or a couple days later, she gets paired up with a new professor, and she really does not want to work with him. His name is Cal, and he is just going to be another one of these professors who, like, doesn't do any of the research, takes all of her research, and then doesn't put her name.
It does very sound similar.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, he's not going to put her name because this is what happened to her last time. She's not going to get any credit for the work that she does.
So was the bad relationship she was in previously with another professor? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that situation happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's not into it, but she's forced, like, her boss is making her do this. So, you know, surprise, surprise, he actually turns out to be really wonderful. And he starts, like, helping her go through her 62 steps. And he's like, yeah, we're going to get these done, like, in the name of research. Like, he, you know, he comes at it from that perspective. She also, at some point, makes a few friends along the way, like, unintentionally. Like, her neighbor in her apartment building, she kind of runs into, and they become friends. And then she, like, goes out to eat lunch by herself one day, and there's this guy sitting on a bench, like, an older man. Marty, maybe, like the perfect older man name. Yeah. And she starts chatting with him again against her will. I should say he starts chatting with her. So she kind of picks up a few friends along the way. She's doing these 62 steps, but she's still very determined to prove this article wrong.
Sure.
But of course, I mean, you can guess how it turns out.
Right, sure.
So it
sounds great.
It was really cute. The only complaint I had was the audiobook narrator. She's done like YA narration before. She has kind of a childish voice. Mm. And so she made Isadora sound childish.
Mm, I see.
And
you don't think that's really how she is.
Yeah, I would
have. And this isn't British, right? This is.
No, it's American. Like, I would have liked a more nuanced reading, because it's very easy to assume she's childish. She's been in her shell her whole life. Sure. But I would have preferred not that Julia in the audiobook. Whalen. I would have preferred Julia Whalen for the audiobook. Right. But I still really enjoyed it, despite not loving the narrator. I do like that narrator, but not for this book.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, I love how sometimes our books just really complement each other.
Synchronicity. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I know, that's so fun. And, like, I want to read your book now.
And I want to read that. Yeah.
Okay, so the tea that we're drinking, I did not grab the tin. Sorry, but... It's one that we've had before.
Yes. I can look it up.
It's Harney and Sons Wonderful Things.
Yeah.
I did look at the notes before I sat down. It was like,
oh, okay.
Bergamot and orange and vanilla. So kind of a spin on Earl Grey a little bit.
Yeah. It's good. It's soothing. Jamie gave me this at my baby shower for when I was pregnant with Lucia. And it's a good one to keep. Especially in the evenings.
Yes, this is a great evening tea.
I've had this one a lot in the evenings.
Okay. Yeah. So on my Bahamas trip, we did do tea in the library one afternoon because they have this, like, I don't think I posted it on Instagram, but Carrie did. But it's just this beautiful room and, like, you can go and, like, sit on the couches and drink tea, and they do, like, tea sandwiches and that kind of stuff if you want it. And then, like, there was this group of old guys, like, playing cards and, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it was just a fun little space. And so we had a very delicious French Earl Grey, I think it was called. But anyway, they did not sell loose leaf tea. You could only drink it there. So
okay.
I wandered the entire resort looking for some place to buy tea from the Bahamas for us. But I was unsuccessful.
Yeah. Elise and I did that when we went to Nantucket. And there really wasn't anything other than just, like, going to the grocery store and getting tea. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But there... Previously, I think before COVID, there was a tea shop
on the island. And I was
like, that's such a bummer. Because, like, we saw it and then we walked to where it was. Because it didn't say, you know, usually it's like permanently closed. Like, it didn't specifically say that. And then we got there, it was something else. And I was like, where is it? Like, I couldn't find the sign. And then I realized the building was the same, but the sign was different.
It just wasn't there anymore.
Like, oh, man. So that was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, same. I tried very hard.
We ended up getting something. I brought something back.
You did.
But I think it wasn't on Nantucket Island. Right. It was in inland somewhere where we stayed.
Or was it from Boston?
It was from Boston. That's right. We've done a couple of them from Boston. Yeah, that's right. We went to Cambridge.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Obviously
another,
not the same.
Another
but,
connection.
But, you know,
sort
same
of
name.
But I did, when I was scrolling Instagram the other night, I found... I don't know, some company in my ads. I think it was called Plum Deluxe, and they had some cool sounding teas, so I bought 7 of them.
Great.
So we will have lots of tea to review.
Awesome. That's exciting. Have you heard about the Plannery Cafe?
Yes.
Have you been?
No, but
should we go after this?
I kept meaning to send it
to
you.
No, but I think that they do, like, some form
they
of high tea.
High tea in the afternoons. Yeah. We should go after this.
Okay.
Because I need food.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, it looked really neat in there. I haven't been. But I specifically had in my mind, and I've forgotten.
Yes.
That I was like, this would be a cool place for Jamie and I to go together.
Same. I've had the, like, article up on my phone in Safari for weeks now, and I've been meaning to send it to you. And yeah, sounds like we were both in the same in the same boat with that. Right. But yeah, let's do it. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for the full list of books we discussed today. You can find that in your podcast app or on our website, inkdrinkerspodcast.com.
And please support us by subscribing anywhere you listen to podcasts and leaving a review. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter at Ink Drinkers Pod.
Cheers!